Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We are sharing with you on the subject of deliverance. We have talked about out of Mark 16:17 that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. We saw that Jesus came forth and he ministered healing and deliverance to bring people out from captivity. We saw that he cast out devils in all the synagogues of Galilee. We brought forth a very important point that life is spiritual. God is a spirit, Satan is a spirit, angels are spirits, and evil spirits that serve Satan are spirits. The Word of God is also spirit and life, and we are spirit, soul, and body. If our eyes were open to the Spirit, we would see angels and demons everywhere. Now, how does Satan work in the earth? He works in the heavenlies, and he works in the earth through his evil spirits, also called devils or demons. The evil spirits seek to get into a person to carry out destruction. We also talked about how these evil spirits are able to come into an individual from three general ways: from inheritance, from our own sins, or being victimized in life. When one sins, then a curse comes upon a person, and there is a cause for every curse, and an evil spirit comes in to enforce that curse in a person's life. The evil spirits enforcing the inherited generational curses come in at the time of conception. The evil spirits from our own sins come in at the time of sin or victimization in our life. The evil spirits do not leave if we have confessed our sin and receive forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness and repented from the sin. That simply gets us back in right fellowship with the Lord. But the spirits have not left us yet. They have to be cast out. And because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then we know that everybody needs deliverance. And so we're going to continue today talking about casting out evil spirits. We must answer an important question: who is deliverance from evil spirits for? The answer is, it is not for the world, because they have no covenant with God, and they have no right to it, and they could not retain their deliverance because they don't know the Word to walk in. They couldn't resist the devil's temptations. They don't have authority over the devil to resist him. In Mark chapter 7, verse 25, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Notice that Jesus said that deliverance from the evil spirit that was in her daughter was the children's bread. That means it was for those in covenant relationship with God. Who were those in covenant relationship at that time? It was the children of Israel. Those outside of the covenant were considered dogs. There's another important point to bring forth from this in verse 27, where Jesus said, "Let the children first be filled." Notice he didn't say, "Let the children only be filled." He said, "Let the children first be filled," indicating that someone was going to be filled second or after that. First, the gospel came to the Jews. Then later, it was going to come to the Gentiles. She got the revelation of this, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And for this saying, he said, "Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter." And in Matthew chapter 15, a parallel passage, in verse 22, it says, "A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. The disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He only came to those in covenant relationship with God. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and he said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast at the dogs." In other words, Jesus would not respond to her just because she had a need. He pointed out that deliverance was the children's bread and not for the dogs, those outside of the covenant. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thy wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to those in covenant relationship with God, and it was the children's bread, and that he is not moved by one's need, but by the covenant which one has with God. So therefore, this shows that deliverance is for those in covenant relationship with God, and it is actually declared the children's bread. It belongs to the children under the covenant of God. Well, who's in covenant relationship with God today? Those who are born again, that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So who is deliverance for today? It's for born-again Christians in covenant relationship with God. Also, another reason why deliverance is not for people of the world is if you cast evil spirits out of someone out there in the world who's not born again in covenant relationship with God, would they be able to retain their deliverance? No. The evil spirits would be able to come back in because they don't have authority to resist them. They don't know the Word of God to resist the temptations, and you would actually be doing a disservice to them because 7 more wicked would come in, and the person would be worse than they were at the first. Thus, from these scriptures, we see that deliverance is for those in covenant relationship with God. And who is that? Born-again believers. Now, that brings us to the next question. How can Christians have demons in them? Many have taught that once we're born again, receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we cannot have demons within us. In other words, Christians cannot have demons within them. Well, that teaching is false teaching. It is a doctrine of the devil, and it is not the truth. First of all, we must understand the makeup of man. Man is made of 3 parts: spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That shows that we're made of 3 parts. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a physical body. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and gets born again, what happens? They get a brand new spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Does their soul, made up of their will, intellect, and emotions, get changed? No. Did they get a new body? Obviously not. So the only change occurred in our spirit. There are no demons that are in our spirit because that's where the Spirit of Jesus Christ has come to dwell. And if we have received the Holy Spirit, which is received subsequent to salvation, the Holy Spirit is received in our spirit as well, and therefore there are no demons in our spirit of Christ or in the Holy Spirit, which is dwelling in our spirit. However, the evil spirits have not left our soul and body just because we got born again. Now, others have said, well, I understand spirit, soul, and body, but they still have reasoned in their mind that evil spirits could not dwell in the same temple as the presence of the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit. They have reasoned that light cannot dwell with darkness, good with evil, a holy God with unclean evil spirits in the same temple. Well, again, that is man's logic. There's no scripture on that whatsoever. The truth is that God can dwell in the spirit and evil spirits dwelling in the soul and the body inside the same temple. Proof of this is seen in the Old Testament temple example of Jesus casting out the money changers. In Mark chapter 11, verse 15, they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers. The Old Testament temple was made of 3 parts: the Holy of Holies, the Holy Place, and the outer court. Where was God dwelling? In the Holy of Holies. Where were the evil physical inhabitants, the money changers, dwelling? They were either in the holy place or the outer court. It doesn't specify. Thus, the presence of God was in the temple in the Holy of Holies, yet evil physical inhabitants in other areas inside the temple. This shows you that the presence of God in the temple, it did not keep the evil money changers out, nor did it drive them out of the temple. Therefore, the presence of God in the temple does not keep evil inhabitants from entering into or operating in the temple, just as the money changers were. Then what did it take in order to get those evil inhabitants out of the temple? It took someone coming in who had authority. That was Jesus, who cast them out of the temple. Thus, to cleanse the physical temple, somebody had to come in and cast them out. This is all important because the Old Testament temple is a physical type of the New Testament spiritual temple, which we are as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. The Holy of Holies is likened to our spirit, where God dwells in us. The holy place is likened to our soul. The outer court is likened to our body. The evil physical inhabitants, the money changers, are a type of the evil spiritual inhabitants, which are the evil spirits that are in our soul or body. just as the evil physical inhabitants were in the physical temple, so are the evil spiritual inhabitants in us, the spiritual temple. The evil spirits are not in our spirit, just as the money changers were not in the Holy of Holies. The evil spirits are in our soul and or body. And remember, to cleanse the physical temple, someone had to come in and cast them out, and that was Jesus. In like manner, someone has to come and cast the evil spirits out of us, which is done again by Jesus through the name of Jesus, when we cast out devils through the authority delegated to us in the name of Jesus. Thus, Christians can have evil spirits in them, in their soul and body, while the presence of God is dwelling in our spirit. If it was so that evil spirits couldn't be in us in our soul or body, we shouldn't have any problems at all. If the presence of God could keep evil spirits out of us, it certainly should be able to keep sickness and disease, mental problems, emotional problems, addictive compulsive problems. With that type of reasoning, we should be in perfection because of the presence of God in us. But no, the presence of God has come into our spirit, and now we have been given authority to cast out the devils. In fact, in Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, it talks about preaching the gospel, and then those that believe and are baptized are saved. Now, the first sign that's to follow the believer once he's saved is, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." That means that every believer who is now saved is to cast out the evil spirits. Why are we told to cast out the evil spirits? Because we have the evil spirits in us, and we must cast them out of the soul and the body. They have not left just because we got born again. The only change occurred in our spirit. This teaching that Christians do not have evil spirits in them is a lie. It is a doctrine of the devil. Think of it this way, or this practical example of demons in a person. Let's say we had someone that had deafness caused by evil spirits, like a case in the Bible. The deaf spirits are in the body causing the deafness, and they must be cast out to eliminate the deafness. Well, do born-again Christians have this kind of a problem? Sure. There's lots of born-again Christians that have deafness in a particular ear. And when the deaf spirits are cast out, then they are free and they will be able to hear out of that particular ear. You see, the spirits are not in our spirit. They are not in the presence of God, but they are in the soul, affecting our mind, will, or emotions, and in our physical body, and they must be cast out. Jesus cast out the deaf spirits, the blind spirits, the dumb spirits. He cast out the spirits to see the people be healed and set free from captivity to the enemy. Also, here's another practical example. Let's say we have someone that's a born-again Christian who hears voices from within their mind, and they have sudden panic attacks and depression that overwhelms them. The demons within the person are causing the problem. Once the demons are cast out, then the person would be set free. We see an example in Mark chapter 5, verse 15. The man who had the legion of demons, when they were cast out of him, he was in his right mind. That tells you that all of the mental problems that are going on in people's lives are the result of spirits that are present in their mind, that if they were cast out, then the person would be in their right mind. Deliverance is very important. Jesus cast out demons in all the synagogues of Galilee. He taught the 12 to cast them out. He taught the 70 to cast them out. And he said, "These signs follow them that believe." Every single believer in Jesus Christ needs to cast the evil spirits out of their soul and out of their body that came in from inheritance, their own sins, or being victimized in life. And as a believer casts out the evil spirits, they will be set free from every bondage affecting them physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, socially, in all areas, and they will overcome. Come and walk in victory. We'll talk more on this subject in the next broadcast. As I close, I want to make my book available to you on the subject of deliverance, called Deliverance for All Christians, $10, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. Deliverance for All Christians, $10, 602-279-5212. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.